Today's daf from Masechet Chagiga, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Hey. We're about one-fifth of the way down. We were in the middle of learning about the various psukim that were gerim b'chia by the Chachamim. And the last thing we learned was the Yesh Nispeh B'lo Mishpat, which brings us to about a fifth of the way down on the from the top of the daf, and we're up to Rabbi Yochanan, Kimoti Lahai Kro Bachi. So Rabbi Yochanan would cry when he came to the pasuk of Vatsiteni Volaval Ochinam, where Eov said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu got Satan, basically had got HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be upset with him and to destroy him for absolutely no purpose. So Evetcher Abome Sitinov, and he said, this is actually a possible anhaga that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be sicked, so to speak, against a person. And he would respond to that. So there's no hope. Takana yeshlo. Another thing that Rabbi Yochanan kimati like Rabbi, hein begedoshav lo yamin. The Kadosh Baruch Hu has no trust even in the ones who are most kadosh to him. So begedoshav lo yamin b'man yamin. So that means that Kadosh Baruch Hu has no trust in anybody. So what would that mean? I mean, so how can you have a relationship if there's no trust? Yuma chad avikazu b'urcha. One day, Rabbi Yochanan was walking along, and Chazid Ahu Gavra Davi Manaki Te'eni. So he sees a person who's gathering figs and preparing it, obviously, for taking along with him. Shovichanech Domatu, Bishokahanech Delomatu. And he would leave behind the figs that were ripe, those he left at home. And he was gathering together the figs that were not ripe. So Rabbi Yochanan said, what? I mean, isn't it better to have ripe figs? Lavhani malin tvei. So the guy told him, obviously, but what I'm doing is I'm packing up these figs for a trip. So hani lu urcha be'inan lahu. I need the ones that are going to keep. And the ones that are already ripe, I mean, they're just going to get overripe. They're going to get spoiled. So hani natron v'hani lo natron. That's why I'm choosing the ones that will be ripe at the correct time. But the ones that are going to be right now, I don't need to take. Omar, then Rabbi Yochanan said, that's the meaning of Ein Bigdoshav Lo Yamin. It was in the same way that the figs are better to keep around when they're not ripe, and we don't want to take along figs that are ripe. So because of this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he sees a person who's a complete tzaddik, and he's kodesh, and he's completely ripe, so to speak, for the picking. In other words, he's never done any chatayim. He's reached a moment of perfection in his life. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't trust what's going to happen to him later. If I keep him around in the world, so then he might get ruined, which would be terrible for him. So because of that, I will take him young. And that's why it means, Ein Bigdoshav Lo Yamin, that when we see that somebody dies young, and he was a tremendous tzaddik, so then it must be that it's Ein Bigdoshav Lo Yamin. I cannot trust it not to get spoiled. That's the point. Wait, is that true, though, that that's really a valid explanation? I mean, what about a Talmud that was in the neighborhood where Rabbi Alexandri lived, and he died young? And Rabbi Alexandri's response to his death was, if this guy would have wanted to be a better person, he could have lived. It was because of his actions that he died young. I mean, if Rabbi Yochanan is right, so how could Rabbi Alexandri say something like that? Maybe the reason that he died young was because he was from those who were included in the pasuk, Ein Bigdoshav Lo Yamin Avi. So maybe he was one of those who was so perfect that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was afraid that he could have gone wrong. I mean, we find the same thing by Chanoch, right? As Rashi says by Chanoch, that Ve'enenu, because Gelakachoto Elohim, was because he was a tzaddik gomer, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was chashish, that maybe something would go wrong with him later on. So how could Rabbi Alexandri have said that? No, Rabbi Alexandri knew. That guy was definitely not from Ein Bigdoshav. He knows. He knew that this person was not someone that was Mahadir Tamid Chachamim. And so because of that, it must be that that's why he died. And in fact, the truth is that it says that somebody who is not omed b'fnei chachomim, it doesn't have derech eretz, such a person dies young. So Rabbi Alexandria understood that it was because of that. Rabbi Yochanan had another pasuk that he would cry over, and he came to the pasuk v'karavti aleichem lemishpat v'hayiti eid b'maher b'machashfim uva'menahafim uva'nashpa'im l'shaker uba'oshkei sechar sachir. So here Malachi puts together a lot of different things that are not really related and that seem to be on different levels. But the worst part is that he says, V'karavti alechem. Karavti alechem means I'm going to come there, I'm getting there quickly. I'm going to act rapidly against all of these people. So Evet Shrabo Mikarvo Ledunu V'karavti alechem. He's trying to bring us close to be able to be nidon quickly. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like the first thing that he does, he's ready to be made against such a person. So takana yeshlo, I mean, there's like no hope. I mean, you know, give us a chance. Oh, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, I mean, it's terrible. Take a look at the list over here. I mean, mechashvim menafim, nishboyim l'shaker, that's like, whoa, for the most chomer and yonim in the Torah. And then, ba'ushkeis char sachir, people who don't pay their workers on time. I mean, I understand that that's a bad thing, but is it in the same level of mechashvim and menafim, adulterers? I mean, come on. Oilanu, sheshakala lenu katuv kalot kechamurot, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is putting all together that the person who's a Oshek Schar Sachir is going to be in the same situation as Benafim and Bechashvim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just as anxious to get rid of him. That's also terrible. Omer Resh Lakish, Kol HaMated Dino Shel Ger. If you take a look at this pasuk, anybody who is not makbid on the din of a ger, and he's in some way, he perverts the halacha in a din, it's as if he did that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar umate ger, and umate can be read umati, that is someone who was mote maidin against me, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Mefarshim explained, by the way, that the shakal in HaKadosh kalot kechamurot is where the person indeed is in the matzav of velo yirauni. The people who, it's not just that they're over averus without any sense of it making a difference. It's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't exist. So then, indeed, it's the same thing. Omer Rebbe Chanina, but there's another beautiful point about this pasuk. In fact, if you take a look at the reason why all of these things are mentioned as if they're all one thing and they shouldn't be on the same madriga, it says at the end of the pasuk, velo yireuni, that after doing all these things, it's out of a sense of having no respect for my existence, and therefore there's no Yirat Shamayim. Yirat comes from the word for re'iyah, of awareness, of understanding that there are consequences, that our relationships makes a difference. So mashma from here, that ha-yire'uni, if that person would feel, after he did what he did, he would feel any sense of harata, so then he wouldn't be included in this. So you see from here that Kolo said, Avaru mitcharet po, mochalin lo miyad. The person gets mechila immediately. Because it says, Velo yireuni, mashba, that if they would be menafim or mechashvim or motei schar sachir, and then they would feel that they did something wrong, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be mochal them on the spot. Now, of course, this leads to the question of what do you mean mochal on the spot? But these are lotas, right? The Rambam, as the Rambam brings from the Gemara, that only if somebody is over on a mitzvah's asay and he does teshuvah, so then mochim lo miyad. But, I mean, not when it's talking about these things, which are averot chamurot, and we know that averot chamurot, or even the ones that are not chamurot, but they're lo ta'aseh, so then there's no such thing as mochalim lo miyad. Now, the truth is, Tosus asks this question, and he says, maybe it's going according to the Shita in Yuma that talks about in the Braita that even asay velo taaseh, tshuva is mechaperet. But Tosus ultimately comes to understand the meaning as the Rambam explains it. Remember that mochalin lo miyad, which is said lagabe teshuva and mitzvahs aseh, the Rambam doesn't mean that other things were not mochalin lo miyad. Mochalin lo miyad on everything, even on the most chomer thing. But remember that mochalin lo miyad does not mean he gets a kapora miyad. It's completely different things. So the idea over here is that, I mean, what Tosfos doesn't have the understanding that the Rambam has in the halacha, so he calls it mechila gemura, but he uses the word yisur nitchaprulo avonotav. But the Rambam uses as the terminology very strictly defined, in which case there's no problem at all. Mechila is instantaneous. What does that have to do with the question of whether he'll get kapora? In terms of whether he's still going against he still has to remain affected by the cheder till there's a kapara. That's true, and indeed there are differences, and that the Gemara calls the arba the different levels of kapara, not of mechila. The only reason that it's meaningful to say mochlo lo miyad on a mitzvah tasei is because that's all that is needed. Is the mechila, and because of that, the mechila ends up becoming the full kapara of the chet. That's all. So, according to Rambam, it's perfect. It makes absolutely no difference. That's not again the machlokas of Rabbi Shmuel and the Brisa over there in Yuma that does the springs. It's very straightforward. And the raya here is simply to the fact that he'll get mechila. That's true. Rabbi Yochanan, kimati lahai krabach. Another pasuk that would be more Rabbi Yochanan to cry. Would be because it says in Kohelet, ki et kol ma'aseh, ve'elohim yaviv v'mishpat al kol ne'elam. Everything that a person does, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings to din on everything, no matter how hidden it is. Evet shurabo shokelo shigagot sidon kizdonot, because al kol ne'elam means things that the person isn't even aware of. So that means that it's a complete shigaga. I didn't mean to do any wrong. Nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be maybe Ola Mishpat. Takana Yeshlo, does he have a chance? Well, when you say Al Kol Ne'alam, things that the individual is not even awareness, like, what would that mean? Omarav, somebody kills a louse in front of a person, and that person feels disgusted. He's going to have to be Omed Bedin for such a thing. Vinim Asba. Shmuel Omar Zarak Bifnechav. Somebody spits in front of another person. The other person is disgusted by it. You think that the cause of another person's feelings is not something that you had to take into consideration? You weren't even aware of it. To you, it didn't matter. And to him, it mattered. And what's the end of the pasuk? Im tov, the imra? I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to punish somebody for im tov. So why does it say that he's going to be a mevi'o, the mishpat, on everything, even if it's good? What does that mean? Amri de Verabiana, yes, it means that within the good there is bad. For instance, somebody gives tzedakah to an ani, and he does it before Hesia. So he's also making a good point about himself, what a big tzaddik he is. He has to take into consideration the fact that he's embarrassing the guy by giving him tzedakah publicly. So this was like the Maisu with Rabiana. He sees somebody, he sees someone giving a zuz for tzedakah to someone in public. So Rabbi Yonai said to him, it would have been better for you not to have given him the tzedakah than the way that you gave it to him. You gave it to him now and you caused him busha. You think that your lousy nickel was worth the busha that he suffered? So that's al hatov. Devei Rabbi Shila Amri, that you know, when it comes to these issues, what's good in one circumstance can be bad in another circumstance. I could take your example and show that it would be bad if he did it the right way. Because if somebody, let's say somebody goes to give tzedakah to a woman, bedavka in a secret place where nobody will see, so then she's going to be nechshad. Oh, she's got something going with this guy. Why is he going in to see her? So davka, he should give it in a public place. So zehanotein litzedakah leisha beseter. Why? Because kabati lo ledech shada. So then people are choshed her. So then it would have been better to do it in the public. So that means that everything has to be defined by its context and the depth of its meaning in that context. Rava Omar, I'll give you another example. Somebody sends meat. is mishager lishto basar she'enu mechutach ba'arvei Shabbaton. It's Erev Shabbos. Everybody's in a rush. They didn't have time to prepare the cholent. He gets her a shipment of meat in time to bake the cholent, and the meat was not trabered. Right? It wasn't, we didn't have the gidim cut out of it. Fine. And he assumes that she is going to take care of the kashrus of it, but he doesn't say anything to her. And this, doing something like that can be gorem, people eating a tray for cholent. But Rava used to do that. Rava used to get meat sent over to his home, like fresh meat, the last minute on Erev Shabbos. And you say that it's im tov im ra? That's different. Rava was married to Rav Chisda's daughter, for God's sake. The Kimla Begavada Bekia, he knew that she would immediately be able to see the difference if the meat was already mukshar or not. So, of course, he relied on her. We're talking about people where they don't have that level of reliance. And then it would be Imtov Imra. Rabbi Yochanan, Kimat El Aikrabach, another Pasuk that would be Ma'or Rabbi Yochanan to tears, was Vaya ki timtze'ena oto ra'ot rabot vitzarot. This is something HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings on us, rabo mantzilo ra'ot vitzarot, takana yeshlo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ready to bring us to such tzores, bad things. What hope do we have? What do you mean by ra'ot vitzarot? I mean, aren't by definition ra'ot sarot? Oh, my Rav, no, you don't understand. It means ra'ot shenasot sarot zolazo. These are ra'ot which are like sarot one to the other. Let's say a person is stung by a scorpion and by a wasp. Okay, now the problem is that you can't fix this because you need to use cold water for a wasp and hot water for a scorpion. And the Gemara says, chilufa is sakanta. If you do the opposite, so then it's dangerous. So what are you supposed to do now? He can't put on cold water on his sting, and he can't put hot water on his sting. And therefore, the ra'ot were made in such a way that they make each other bad. So they're basically, they are, what's the word? Where you do things together. Oh, gosh. I'm telling you. This
conspirators.
No, this is where you have, it doesn't matter. Richie, you remember all the words that I forget, right? When you have two things, that each one is cosmic, the other. I know you never forget a word, Rich, right?
Potentiate. Synergy.
Synergistic is the word.
Synergetic Tsaurus. Thank you. Very good. See, it's good to have some young people in this year, Rich. We may actually remember a word or two here and there. Okay. So that's Ra'ot Vitzarot. Shmuel Amar, Zem Amtzilo Ma'ot La'ani B'shato Chakot. This is what Tosus understands this very beautifully, that this is somebody who makes money available to an ani dafka when he is in a matzav of Dochak. So that, what is a Ra'ot Vitzarot? So Tosus explains the issue is like this. The person needs money to be able to eat. That he doesn't have money for. But you give him money when he's b'shas dochak. What's the b'shas dochak? The government has come down hard on him for taxes, right? So now there is a way for him to get out of the taxes because that is if somebody pays his taxes for him, so then the government gives that person a lien against the guy's property, right? Okay, so if you hadn't brought the money to the ani at a time when he needs to pay his taxes. So then they would have let him off because if somebody doesn't have any money, that's, I'll give him a deal. You know, okay, you pay 10%. But now that you went ahead and got the money to him, now he's got to pay 100%. He has to pay the whole thing back or he's going to end up losing the property to you. So because of that, it's bad that he doesn't have the money. So he doesn't have what to eat for his kids. But then you provide him the money, which now makes it impossible for him to have a future. So Haina Damri Inchi, that's what people always say. Zuzila alala lo shchicha. You can't find a nickel to help you to buy some bread for your family, but litlita, but to hang yourself up, you know, and to destroy you completely, there's always money available. Sure, people are always ready to help you out. Okay, so this is how Tosis understands. So it says in the posik v'chora api bo v'yomahu v'azavtim v'histarti fanaimihim. So we'll be so angry at them that I will be mastir panim. So that means I won't respond to their tefillas. Omer Bartala Bartivyumi, Omer Rav, note that Vistarti Fanai Mehem is a description of the matzav of Klal Yisrael. And what this means is that Kol She'eino Be'ester Panim, anyone who is not living a life in which he has to suffer, that Hester Panim, where it appears that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has turned away from him, is not a member of B'nai Yisrael, because it says B'nai Mehem. So this is B'davka on B'nai Yisrael, because the Goyim, they don't have a state of non-Hester Panim. So it's only in Yisrael where HaKadosh Baruch Hu can carry out this idea of Hestarti B'nai Mehem. And what's more, Kol She'eino B'vahaya Le'echol, it says in the Pasuk that they will end up, it's the continuation of the Pasuk, that the Goyim will take away his things. B'vahaya Le'echol, such a person is not like a member of Klal Yisrael. So the Rabbanan said to Rava, well, Rebbe has a great life. I mean, like, you're a multimillionaire, and apparently there's no problem, there's Hester Panim, and there's no Vaya Le'echol. So how does this make sense? I felt like this is a national tzora that we have. So Rava said to them, are you guys crazy? Do you realize how much money I have to pay in protection money, which I got to bribe Shvor Malka? You know, Kama B'Shadarna B'Tzina B'Shvor Malka, and that's the only reason that I can survive, because of this tremendous, tremendous amount of money that I'm pouring into this to save my own money. Nonetheless, it was too late. Afilu Achi Yavu BeRabbanan Inayu. The Rabbanan had looked at him, and because of that, everything went sour. As this happened, Adahachi Shoda Deveshvor Malka, they sent the secret agents from Shvor Malka, and they took everything he had. The Grabu. This Tosfos says this was the Maisa that was in that dream, the Bar Hadaya, that horrible story where Rava wasn't paying him for the dream interpretation. So he interpreted to Rava that everything he has is going to be lost, that his wife is going to die. And all of those things happened. That was here at this Maisa. And that, says the Gemara, Haina de Tanya, Om Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, Koma Komsha Natnu Chachamim Einehem Omita Ooni. If the Chachamim look at something and they feel it's not right, so then it can cause horrible things. It can cause death, and it can cause poverty. I mean, that's exactly what happened to Rava. Then, once we're on there, let's get to the next pasuk, which, of course, was the topic of our pitchas last night, which you didn't come to, you know, goodness. And, oh, yes, I see Naftali sitting there in his newly painted lavender office, which makes everything so nice and sweet. Indeed, it's all very nice, and we like the new paint. But what about the new Naftali? Ha! And don't think we didn't see La's new spreadsheet so that we would know when to have the daf. But what's the real point of the spreadsheet? So that we shouldn't ask La anymore. So tell us, La, so that we don't have that personal connection. Yeah, yeah, it's a good job. I know, I'm just tweaking. Anyway, your presence means so much. Bring it, please. That's the Hestarti Panai Mehem. It's all very nice to have HaKadosh Baruch Hu there behind the screen that says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, but we'd like to have something better than that. Maybe some responsiveness. Okay. Beautiful, beautiful, Gavi. Beautiful. So, said HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Anochi Aster Astir Panai Mehem, Omar Rava, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's true that Hestarti Panai Mehem, but it says Bayomahu. Bayomahu means even only in the daytime. Well, so what, only in the daytime HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Master Ponim? What is that supposed to mean? Ah, because in the nighttime, Bachalom Adaberbo. So maybe there is no longer any Nevias, an open connection, but there still is a way to be Ma'orah, a person with dreams, and if there's still Nevi'im, they can be spoken to. Balayla, it depends what Kufa we're talking about. So there is a Getter of Hester Ponim, but that's Bayom. Rabbi Yosef Omer, yes. Don't think that Hester Panim means HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't care, Chas v'Chalila. It says, B'tzel yadi chisiticha. I've covered you over with my hand to put the shadow from you to prevent things from hitting you. That's still true. And there was a Meiser, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Hanania. He was what was the name of that gambling place? Caesar's Palace, right. So he was in Caesar's Palace. And Achvile Ahu Apikuruta, so there was this Apikurus who was hanging out in the by the Caesar. And, you know, so always you have these heretical Jews that they may find favor with the Malchus. So he was Machvele. Machvele was what they used to do signing. And the signing was, there's different approaches. Some learned that the signing is what is called the Chochmah Yavonis, to be able to communicate in ways that other people can't understand and won't be able to overhear. So it's done by signing. Others learned that signing in the Beis HaMalchus was a way of being mechabed the king. Nobody would speak in the presence of the king. And if there needed to be communications, they would communicate via signing. So this guy signs to him, Ama da'adrinu mori la'apeme, you Jews, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has turned his face away from, and now he looks only at we Christians. Achvelesu, Rabbi Yehoshua signed back to him, Yadonetu ya'aleinu, which is the Betzel Yadi Kisiticha. So the Kesar sees these exchanges and he's thinking, like, this is interesting because Rabbi Yehoshua is like the big Chochem of the Jews and this guy is turned against the Jews. What were they talking about? So he asks Rabbi Yehoshua, what did he say to you? Meaning, what did he sign? Rabbi Yehoshua said, he signed to me, Ama Darina Morley Apipine, and I signed him back, Yadona to Yaleno, because he wanted the Kesar to know what he signed back. So that way the Kesar asked this guy, you know, do these guys really know what they're talking about? I mean, this is real Adkadekach, that type of depth. So he asked Ahumina, what did you sign to him? I signed to him, Ama Darina Morley Apipine. So yes, Rabbi Yehoshua actually had exactly understood him. So what did he sign to you? I don't know. What? What do you mean you don't know? You're sitting here signing in front of me? So what are you doing? You're like that guy, that black guy on the TV over there in South Africa moving his fingers. You chutzpaniak sitting there in front of the president and just moving your fingers as if you know what you're talking about? Take the man out to be hung. He said, a guy who doesn't understand signing, a chutzpah, he's going to sign in front of the melech. They took him out and killed him. Anyway, when Rabbi Yehoshua ben Hanania was about to die, Necha Nafshe, note the lashon we spoke about before, when we were talking about the Malach HaMavis, the lashon of dying in the Gemara is Necha Nafshe, when he was about to have his soul stop the turbulence. So this was Rabbi Yehoshua ben Hanania. So Rabbanan said to him, what are we going to do now? We have all of these apikursim. You're the only guy who knows how to put them in their place right away. Amar Lam, don't worry about it. Avda etzami banim, nisrecha chochmatam. It says in Yirmiyahu. Basically, once Klal Yisrael, the children, have lost correct etza, they have lost the depth of knowing how to respond, then nisrecha chochmatam. That means nisrecha chochmatam shel umot ha'olam. They're not going to have what to say. It'll always be on the same level. So the stupidity of their arguments will increase with time so that the stupid people who know how to respond will still not be too stupid not to respond. Remember what Esav said to Yaakov? That I will only be able to walk on the same madrega that you're on. So it will always be zelu umat zeh. And it's never going to be that they will have more power to argue than we will. Rabbi Elah, Havisolik Bedargat of a Rabbi Bar Shila, he was once walking up the stairs in the house of Rabbi Bar Shila, and he hears a child that was there learning, reviewing his homework, and he hears a Yanuka Davi Kokori, Kine Yotzer Harim Uvore Ruach, Umagid La Adam Masecho. So the one who created the world, he creates the mountains and he makes the winds and he tells a person his words. All of a sudden, it struck him what that means. Evet shurabo magidlo masecho. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will tell a person like all of his words, all the stupidities that he said in his life. God, help us. Takana yeshlo, it's hopeless. Well, what does it mean when it says masecho? Because when you say masecho, the pashtut is even like the smallest insignificant words. Omar Rav. This means afilu sichay terash ben ish liishto magidim lo laadam bishat mita, that even extra sexy talk that a person has between himself and his wife. So you're about to engage in intimacy. The norm is, you know, it's a little bit of funny talk. So fine, even that talk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to tell over to a person. Really? But we know that Rav Kahana was sleeping underneath Rav's bed because he wanted to see how Rav conducts himself, dafka, in intimacy. And he hears Rav, that first he's laughing when he's talking, just nonsense, and he's laughing. And only then does he sleep with his wife. Vasat Zrachav. So from underneath the bed, Rav Kahana was pretty shocked. So Rav Kahana says, Dame Pume de Rav Kimandalo Toimoy Tafshila. You know, you sound like somebody who's never had anything to eat before. I mean, like, what's all this sexy stuff? You know, like, you're not exactly a child. So Rav said, Kahana, that you? Poke, which is, of course, our poke idea that we've always spoken about. So this is exactly where you'd want to say that. And out, lavur achara, this is very disrespectful. What are you doing here? Anyway, bottom line is that in fact, we see that Rav did engage in a sicha yetera. No, it wasn't yetera. The idea over here, ma sicha, is a getter of ma. So the question is, what was needed? So kanda tzarech l'ritzuya. Obviously, if in order to make the woman put her into a mood in which she is relaxed and wants to sleep with you. Okay, so then that's part of foreplay. Language is part of foreplay. And therefore, it's called tzarech. Masha'in came when it says, it means where he is actually interested and engaged in silly talk. That's magid la'adam masecho. Noha delo tzarech l'ratzuya. Moving on with the idea of Hester. V'im lo tishba'ua b'mistarim tivke nafshi b'pnei gava. So we're talking about Hester. Here HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks about the mistarim. And he says, if you do not listen to what I'm saying to you, so then in secret places, I am going to be crying my eyes out because of gahava. Omer b'shmol bar inim b'shmei d'rav, mokom yesho l'Kadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a private place where he goes to cry, which is called mistarim. And that's part of the hester. So that's the idea. Mistarim is not just beseser, it's b'mistarim, a place that's called the place of mistarim. And what does it mean when it says over here, b'pnei geva? What's the geva? Because you acted with gaiva? That's a strange way to say it. Omer b'shmol bar Yitzchak, it means b'pnei gavatam shel Yisrael shenitlamein. It's because of the grandeur of Klal Yisrael that was taken away from them because of the Churban and given over to the Umas HaElam. V'nitnalo avdei kochavim. That, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries over. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Omer, it's because of the Gaiv of Malchus Shamayim. Once Klal Yisrael lost that Madrega, then it's Ki'ilu, the covet of Mala was taken away. But wait a minute. I thought that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't cry. Mi'ika b'chia kamei kutshabrichu. The Omer of Papa Einat Sivut Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shenamar Hod V'Adar Lefanav, Oz V'Chedva B'Mkomo. There's no sadness at all in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Only Oz V'Chedva. Oz V'Chedva is power and happiness. That's B'Mkomo. So how could it say that I will go to cry? Answers the Gemara, Lo Kasha. Well, doesn't it say specifically B'Mistarim? So, ha, b'bate gavoi, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will cry is hidden. And that is like deep inside. Whereas, ha, b'bate varoi, where it says there's only oz v'hadar, that is referring to where it's in public. What, and you're telling me outside, Bevati Varoi, there's no crying? It says Dafkin Yeshayo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be proclaimed. Vayikra is going to proclaim a day of crying. So that was the day of the Churban. And if it's proclaiming can't be done in private. I mean, the whole point of a proclamation is that it's public. That's different. That's the Churban Beis HaMikdash. The Churban Beis HaMikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told even the Malachi Shalom to be crying. Now, Filu Malachi Shalom Bochu. That's different from the pasuk we see, because it says that Davka, the Hen Er Elam, Tzaka Chutza, the Ariel, either referring to the bias or referring to the Ariel, Hoy Ariel, Ariel, the Mizbeach, Tzaka Chutza, Malachi Shalom, Ma'ivka Yunzi. Even the Malachi Shalom, who are usually the proclaimers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Oz V'Chedva, even they were proclaimed that they have to cry. And furthermore, it says, V'domo atidma, V'teirad eini dima, ki nishba eder Hashem. So that was also the continuation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be crying. So what is that referring to? Ki nishba eder Hashem. And what is these domoa, tidma, dima? There's three separate mentions of tears over here. And note that when we introduce the sugya with the idea of the relationship of tears to re'ia, we have now gotten to the relationship of tears to the inyan of ria of yira'eh. Because now we have kivayachol tears of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which are kineged the tears of the Adam, also through the Beis HaMikdash. So there's consistency throughout the sugya from the beginning. So what are these three levels of tears? Amar Rabbi Elazar, shalosh dema'ot halalu. So what are the three mentions of tears here? What tears are they referring to? Achat al Mikdash Rishon, achat al Mikdash Sheni, v'achat al Yisrael shegolu mimekoma. So one set of tears was for the first base of Mikdash, one is for the second base of Mikdash, and one is for the loss of Eretz Yisrael. V'ika de'amre. Others say that the third one is for the tragedy of Bittul Torah, of people who are not motivated to come and to be mizdabek to Torah, which is a terrible tragedy. So Bishlom Alaman Diomar Al Yisrael Shigalu. Okay, that says in the pasuk, Ki Nishba Eder Hashem. The Eder Hashem, the flock of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, has been captured. So it says that. That's Yisrael Shigalu. But according to Man Yomar Bittul Torah, I mean, what does it say about Bittul Torah? It says Nishba Eder Hashem. It says Nishba Eder Hashem. How does that mean Bittul Torah? Says the Gemara, what are you talking about? What is the biggest impact of the Golas? The point is that all of Klal Yisrael's Asik is now bent on survival, on making enough money to get along, on be able to get by. What happened to the main point of their lives? I mean, that's the tragedy. That's the main tragedy of the Golas. That's the greatest Bittul Torah imaginable. Tana Rabbonin, if you're speaking about tragedies that affect HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kaviyachol, shlosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu bocheh aleihem b'chol yom. Al she'efshar la'asok b'torah v'eino osek. Somebody who could be learning, and instead he dedicates his life to shtuyot. That is such a tragedy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries over. And al she'efshar la'asok b'torah v'osek. Someone who's unable to learn Torah, but does so anyway. So, there's some rather cynical explanations of this one, and that is somebody who doesn't know a damn thing about learning, but he's sitting there learning his head off and telling everybody his brilliance for us and making himself into a great teacher and basically being the equivalent of a Talmid Shiloi Gielo Ra, that is Moreh. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries over that also. That's not the pashtus of the sugya. There's all types of explanations, but the Maharal has the most beautiful explanation. The Maharal explains, wow, well, let me see that sign. Wait! The Maharal explains that the point over here is that when somebody, let's say somebody's in an automobile accident, right? And the car is totaled. and the people in the other vehicle are all dead. And this guy gets out of the car, and he's unscathed. He bursts out in tears. Why? It's not out of happiness. So what is it? So you see, says the Maharal, that when a person is close to catastrophe and comes to realize the vulnerability and the delicacy of the balance of life and death, that brings him to tears. So it's the fact that you were so close. That's what's going on over here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees this person that normally it would be so close to catastrophe because he really can't afford to learn Torah. And nonetheless, he was able to manage somehow to grab a moment here and a moment there, and he made his life real through learning Torah. That is something to cry about. That's like walking out of a disaster and seeing that you managed to make your way through. That's a very poignant explanation and makes a lot of sense in the context of the Gemara. And the third thing is a parnasa mitga'el atzibur. So you have the leader of a kehila, and like his focus is on his own arrogance. That's like a horrifying thing. Rebbe Avinokit Sefer Kinas. Rebbe was once holding a Kinas book, and he was reading from Sefer Kinas, and he came to the pasuk that said, "Ishlich mishamayim eretz," and the book fell out of his hand. And he said, "Meigra ram levira amikta," to fall from the highest root to the deepest pit. So there's a beautiful shot here again that was said by my Rebbe, which was that the point over here is the falling of the sefer. It damages the sefer. It gives a completely different dimension to the issues, because like this, the issue is the status, whereas this is a reference to the fall. The fall itself is tremendously damaging. You're not going to talk about the fact that somebody's in a deep pit and that's the only problem when he fell into the deep pit from 200 feet above. He's got a lot of other problems. And that means that we need to take into consideration the impact of the fall on Yisrael, not simply the status that has been nigram. I think Gavi's driving us absolutely crazy today, not showing us where he is. For heaven's sakes, we're visiting the Tzion of Nehemiah Amsuni, and he doesn't let us even know. This is crazy. From now on, Gavi, there's got to be like a little Purish. Wow, incredible places. Okay. Rebbe and Rebbe Chia were once going out on the road, and they came to this town. It's a beautiful story. They come to a town in some faraway town. And so they ask people, "Is there a Talmud Chacham in this town? Iketzur b'mirabanan acha. We would like to go and to be makabel panim of a Talmud Chacham." So people told them there is a Tzur b'mirabanan, but he's blind of all stories to be here, right? Okay, so there's a Talmud Chacham who's blind. Wait till you see the end about how it's a takeoff on the whole idea of Yira'eh. It's brilliant, the multi-level construction.
Don't give away the punchline. Stop it.
Okay, so, Rebbe, I gave the warning before. What do they do when they're giving you a movie review? They say there's a, again, Richie, what's the word?
Spoilers.
Spoilers, thank you. So Rebbe and Rav Chia said they're looking to visit this guy. They said, but he's blind. So. So Reb Chia said to Rebbe, "I mean, that means that you're going to have to go to him. I don't think that's the covet. I mean, you're the Nasi of all of Klal Yisrael. You shouldn't be mizalzel in yourself because you're the Nasi. I'll go and I'll be makabel upon him and you stay here." But Rebbe insisted. Takfe v'azo b'adei. He insisted to go along and he went. When they were leaving, the man says to them, "Atem hikbaltem panim hanir im ve'einam ro'im. You came to be makabel panim to one who can be seen but doesn't see. May you be zoche to be makabel panim of the one who sees but isn't seen," referring to the Shechina and the Beis Hamikdash, beautiful, beautiful takeoff on the year a year out. Absolutely stunning. Omar Leis, Rebbe Sister, you see? God, I kuhash, if I'd listened to you, minatan mihai birchata, I would never have gotten this bracha. This is incredible bracha. It's a good thing I didn't listen to you. Omar Leis, mimanch mielacha, where did you hear that it's such a schus that a person can be zoicha to be makabel p'dei shechina because he went to visit a Talmud Chacham? And he said, I learned it from the Pirkei Shiurim of Rabbi Yaakov. Because Rabbi Yaakov, ish kvar chitaya, havimakbil api derabe ko yuma. And we actually learned, I mentioned to you when we talked about the din of makabel p'nei rabbi, that meikar adin, someone who lives in the same city, is actually supposed to be makabel, or same neighborhood, is supposed to be makabel p'nei rabbi every single day. So Rabbi Yaakov used to do that. But when Rabbi Yaakov became old, so his Rebbe said to him, don't bother, chas v'chalila lo nitztayer mar, de lo yochel mar, it's so difficult for you, don't do such a thing. Omar Leis, Rabbi Yaakov said to him, mizuter mar dechzibul, Rabban, what, this is a small thing, you think that David HaMelech writes, v'yechi od lo netzach, lo yira shachas, someone will live forever and never seen death. This is obviously not the passage of the pasuk, because he sees chachomim in their death. So imagine, so imagine the schus b'chayehem alachat kama v'kama. And Rav Idi Avud, Rav Yaakov Bar Idi, he was living very far away from the yeshiva, and he was rogio that despite that he would come. Every year, it took him 3 months to get there. It took him 3 months to get back home. So between Pesach and Sukkot, he would manage to get in one day in the yeshiva because it was a three-month journey and he had to work for his business and so on the whole way. And he would spend 3 months on the road and 1 month in the yeshiva, one day in the yeshiva. So the Rabbanan used to call him the Barbe Rav de Chad Yuma, which was a play on words. The Barbe Rav de Chad Yuma is a kindergarten student who just came for the first time to kindergarten. So that's called a Barbe Rav, right? So since he used to come Bechad Yuma, he would spend one day in the yeshiva. So they called him, oh, the Barbe Rav de Chad Yuma is here. So because of that, Cholash Daita, Korean Afshe, Schok Lureyeyue, I've become a laughing stock to my friends. Rav Idi was brokenhearted about this. He said to him, please, I beg of you, do not be makbid. Don't think like that. Lo ta'anish lo rabbanim, because you're going to bring terrible unshim on those who are laughing at you. And Rav Yochanan immediately went out to the Beis HaMedrash, banged on the table, and he gave a drosha. And he said, it says in the Pasuk, v'oti yom yom yidroshun, v'dat racha yechapatsun. So what, that means only during the daytime, people are being derish HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'chi b'yom dorshim, b'layla ein dorshim oto. Note the connection that this has to the beginning of the drushes that we had today about b'yom versus b'layla, b'chalom adabir bo. So, is that true? Elo marlecha. The yom yom is coming to tell me that kol ha'osik b'torah filu yom echad b'shana, it's ma'alela v'katuv ki u'asa kol ha'shana kula. The point is that day is the equivalent of all the days. That's the Yom Yom. And you find that's true even by Midat Puranut, where we have by the Meraglim. So it says, Moshe Rabbeinu tells us, Mispar Yamim Asher Tartem Et Haaretz, the number of days that you spent in the Meraglim, that's the number of years. What? 40 years for 40 days? What? It's not the same number of days. It was only 40 yom chatu. Elo lomar lecha that kol haover avera filu yom echad b'shana ma'ala alav ha'katuv kilu over kol ha'shana kula. And since this is the way that he had dedicated his year for that day was the year. So don't chas v'chalila, not only not to make fun of that, but to note what it means for a person to be able to invest in a day, that it should be the equivalent of a year. To call him,
and he's warning them also, right? He's telling them, you're a Vera. Right?
Yeah, he's the Merames to them, of course. is being meramis to them how bad they are. I mean, the truth is that the very pasuk that he brought, "Voti yom yom yedrashun v'das drachaya chafetzun," is gufa brought by the Navi to show what a bunch of idiots you are. You pretend to be interested in me, and then anything that's important, you don't do. That's the pasuk that we read on Yom Kippur. This is what you call searching for me, and this is considered to be the way I'm supposed to think that you're big tzaddikim, and I'm going to be merchel you. How about doing the things that I think are important? That itself is also a remez by Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, Rabos, I thank you so much. Where's Gavi now when it's time to explain things to us? No, all of a sudden he disappears. Come back in here.
We got cheated. You finished a minute early.
Gavi, where exactly were you today? Please tell us about this tiyul. It was so incredibly beautiful.
Yes, Rabbi.
Tell us.
This tiyul was very spontaneous.
Oh, shoot. We
I
don't
just
hear
saw
you.
I was driving up to Meiron, and I saw on the... can you hear now? Now can you hear? So I was driving up the road, and then I saw someone to Rabbi.
Gabby, take out the video.
Maybe take off your video. Maybe we'll have enough bandwidth to hear you. We heard that you were driving up to Meiron, and you saw a sign. Turn off your video. Turn off your video. No, he doesn't hear. Gavi, we didn't hear one word. Turn off your video. Turn off your video.
And find a place fix that we hear you.
The video is off now, I think. Oi.
No, your video is still on. Unless it's so slow that the speed of light has gone down to a mile an hour. Okay, now talk to us. Okay.
Well, so just mentioned this was the Gemara about the seed program. That since it's a short time of learning, but it was so valuable, this was the sugya that both Rebbe and the rabbi prepared.
Yes, that's right. It was this daf. This was what, 40 years ago? I don't know how long ago it was. What year was it?
Early to mid 70s, maybe 76.
Okay, so it was like three or four daf yomis ago? Four daf yomis? Five daf yomis? Okay, yeah. Anyway, so it was this daf in that daf yomi, and I needed to speak for this seed program, but that's exactly what the seed program is. That you go for a brief period to be able to learn with people, and that makes their year. So this was the daf, so it was the obvious thing to speak about on the daf, was this idea of Yom Echad B'Shana, the Bar B'Rav D'Chad Yuma. The problem is that the local Rav, whose shul it was in, also learned the daf Yomi. He realized this is the perfect thing to speak about. So I forgot who spoke first, but anyway, it ended up taking up the other person's share.
If I may, the original way Rebbe told it over is Rebbe picked this Gemara because it was the perfect thing to talk about. And then the Rav was not on that level.
You're right. You're right.
It was today's daf, and it always relates to the daf.
Right.
So he had it because of the daf yomi.
I was so shocked. Yeah. Right. I thought it was the perfect Gemara. I was so shocked that he should come up with this. It's like a profound insight. And I wasn't doing the daf. I was just going for the opposite. And he was. So he said it's today's daf yomi. Okay, excellent. Yes, thank you. Beini uveincha, the sugya becomes clear.